The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, everybody have a Bible? B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I want to share this morning a word entitled Freedom from Imploding Anger. Last week I talked about exploding anger. How many of y'all tend to explode with your anger? Okay, four honest people in the room. How many of y'all tend to implode with your anger? Some of y'all didn't raise your hand at all. How many of y'all in denial? Well, you know, it's possible to do both. But I do think we tend to err in one direction or the other. Usher? I do think we tend to do that. And last week I did talk about exploding anger. It was tape number 1155, if you didn't get it. And everybody struggles to anger to some degree. And like I said, anger is often the first response when you feel like your rights are violated. You know, when somebody's invading your space. You're interrupted. You've been planning all week to do this thing. And you're just starting and somebody interrupts you. And, you know what I'm talking about? And so we have this response of anger. And many move in it and out of it, and they don't even realize it. Now, I shared last week, anger in and of itself is not wrong. Anger is not sin. And we know that because Ephesians 4 says, be angry and what? So it is possible to express, and we see Christ got angry. I mean, one time he was angry at the Pharisees who didn't want him to heal this guy. Another time he went into the temple, and he was obviously angry, knocking over tables and standing there with a whip. One would assume it was done with a bit of heat. But in fact, he says, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. I mean, he was passionate. Jesus was a passionate man. And you know what? God wants us to be passionate. And people are passionate. A lot of times got a lot of anger in them. And it's okay if you can channel your anger legitimately. You know, anger is legitimate if it's channeled properly. Problem is, a lot of us, we don't channel it. We either internalize it, we externalize it, kind of blap everybody around us, or we internalize it, we get sick. You know, a lot of the reasons that a lot of people are sick, you know why? It's because they internalize their anger. They stuff it. You ever heard of stuffers? Well, you know, if you stuff it, it's going to go. You take a 7-Up bottle and you shake it. You know, that pressure's got to go somewhere. And if you don't deal with it legitimately, you know, and like I've said before, I hate to say it, but people that are exploders tend to be healthier than people that are imploders. Now, I'm not saying it's good to explode with your anger. The truth is the people around you aren't very healthy because they got to suffer the consequence, but you tend to be healthy. At least you get it out. But people that stuff it down in and then what I call nervous and nice, they're fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Are you fine? We're all fine. Give me a break. Nobody's fine all the time. Amen? Somebody says, how you doing? I'm fine. I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. Come on. There are times we have a struggle. And a lot of this religiosity, superficiality that's the charismatic movement has degenerated to, the word faith and all that, has created an environment where everybody's blessed all the time, and it's phony baloney. Because there's all kind of dynamics underneath the surface, and people are encouraged to be real. Be real. Be honest. Be open. It's okay. A lot of people, that's the lack of faith. Don't say that. You bring a curse. Just don't say what? You know, I'm angry. Oh, that's a curse. I get mad. You know, that's just, it's control. You just need to be honest and be real. Can you hear an amen? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger is expressed hurt. I believe it's a red flag that there's something going on inside. And like I said, I really believe anger is a symptom. It's not the source. It is a symptom of something else in our life. And in anger, like I said last week, it often covers up other things or other agendas. Usually bitterness and deep hurt, resentment and unforgiveness. These types of things, layers of it, way down in the childhood. And one thing we saw last week, in fact, look at Proverbs 30:33. This is the verse we looked at. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of anger brings forth strife. And like we said, you know, there's a pressure with anger. And he uses this picture of a pressure. And anger's got to go somewhere. And like I said, some people use it and explode. And last week we looked at the example of the prodigal son's brother in Luke 15. Actually, he was the older brother. And the way he exploded with his anger all over his dad. Now, we came to a revelation last week that there's a real key you can use. And if you miss a sermon last week, this is a powerful revelation. It's this. One way you can begin to get free from anger, because I believe a lot of anger in our life is rooted in stuff undealt with, or generational curses, or, you know, unresolved issues, or inner vows from your past, or something you've done where you locked yourself down. And you say, well, how do I know? You know, I've got a good relationship with my parents right now. And a lot of it is mommy and daddy issues. Well, how do I know? Because everything's going fine. Well, the way you know it's in you is, who are the people around you that bug you? What is it in people around you that drive you nuts? And if you're honest with certain personality types and certain things, certain people do just drive you nuts. Just push your buttons and you flare up when certain people do certain things. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, here's the key to your deliverance. Hear me this morning. Here's the key to your deliverance. Those people are the key to your deliverance because they're mirrors. I really believe those are mirrors, and all their ways acknowledge them. God's put those people in your life, those particular people that have that particular gift to push your button. See, that's the key to your deliverance because that's showing you there's something wrong in me. We tend to blame, say, well, no, the problem is them. If they'll just fix themselves, I'll be fine. Right? People get on, what's wrong with everybody? The whole world is out of sorts today. What is everybody's problem? Well, whose problem is it really that day? Right. So if you can just be humble enough and meek enough and recognize, you know, that person just drives me nuts. There's something about that person that just pushes a button to me every time. You know, if you just get the button wiring pulled out of you, it wouldn't matter how they are. Right? They may never change. You don't have to, your salvation and change is not contingent upon someone else's. What a bondage. That my freedom is contingent upon the way that you make the right choice. I mean, that's bondage. That's slavery. My freedom is based upon Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? And then I make the right choice. And the right choice is when somebody bugs me, this is with the secret. Say, Lord, here it is. Forgive me, please, for how I judge my parents in that very area. That's the key. If something drives you nuts in someone, go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Obviously, I judged mom and dad. I put some kind of judgment on my rearing ears because that's unresolved inside of me because it keeps hitting a button out here. See, God's going to keep putting people in your life that are showing you stuff in you that's unresolved. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Iron sharpens iron. That's why God orchestrates these environments and circumstances. And if you look at your life, you realize maybe some of y'all have been through a couple of divorces, maybe a bunch of jobs, maybe you've moved a lot of places over the years. And every time you were running from certain personality types, running from certain issues. And you know what? Have you ever found no matter how you run, you could run, but you cannot hide? And you run and you run and you run and you're in deepest, darkest Africa and you're in the middle of the woods and there's no person 1,000 miles away and you're living in a little hut and you say, finally, there's nobody around I can have peace. But once a year, this guy has to fly in and drop supplies. So sure enough, this guy flies in, gets up, just the only person you see all year, and he looks out the cockpit window, waves, and something about the way he waved just really pushed a button in you. God's going to get you. You cannot hide. Can you imagine? You need to say, Lord, forgive me. I obviously judged my parents. When they would wave me, I made a deal. You see, that's the revelation we had to last week. Folks, that is a powerful revelation. If you will just go with that. If you'll sit down and say, Lord, these things drive me nuts. Quit blaming the person. Where did I judge mom and dad for the very thing? Where did I pile in resentment? I'll never be like that. I will never raise my kids. You know what? If you made that vow, God is destined to put you in that very circumstance. So you can finally forgive them and get your parents off the hook. Because we saw before, the commandment is honor what? Thy father and thy mother. That it may be well with you and you may live long. And the reason things aren't well with people and they're not living long, they're sick, is because of the dishonor and disrespect to mom and dad. So it's going back and dealing with those roots. Are y'all with me this morning? Is that a powerful revelation or what? And it works. Just say, Lord, show me. Help me get out of the blame mode. Help me take ownership for my responses, not other people's actions. Well, this morning I wanted to look at the other side of the story, and that is imploding it. Where you stuff it down in, you're nice and nervous, but you're steaming inside. Now let's look at the example, the classic example in the book of Jonah. Really, we're just going to look at a couple of verses here and then be done. Sunday sermons are quick. Jonah, everybody know what Jonah is? It's real simple. It's two back books behind Nahum, all right? So go find Nahum and go two books back. I'm kidding. All right, it's right after Obadiah. Is that helpful? no, it's not the New Testament, John. Somebody help John over there. It's Daniel, Hosea. You ready? Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Everybody there? Look at that. Those little kids found it. Is that the official? Whoa. How cool. A true discipleship Bible. Jonah 4. Listen, let me give you a quick background. Jonah had a bad day. God said, go this way. Jonah went this way. In going this way, God sent storm to Jonah. Freaked out, said, throw me in the water, the storm will end. They threw him in the water. As Jonah went into the water, he tried to drink deep of the water so he could drown and be done with this stuff. But just his rotten luck, a fish swallowed him that had air. So now he's in a fish's stomach with acids and just a bummer place to be. Was there for 3 days and a most miserable environment. Finally, about the third day, he actually had a prayer meeting in that fish of that, the fish of that stomach, in the stomach of that fish. The bellowing backslider was burped by the beast. Well, the whale then spit him out, puked him out, because he praised God. And you know, there's such a revelation in that. If you praise God in the midst of your situations, what? It says God spoke to the fish. How many of y'all are asking God to affect your situation? You know, that fish wasn't going to do nothing until God spoke to the fish. That's a powerful verse there. And I think it's, what is it? Chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord spake to the fish. Did you know the Lord speaks to fishes? One time Jesus was out there and the guys weren't catching anything. He says, throw your net on the right side. Who do you think Jesus had just spoken to? Some school went by and said, over there. So God spoke to this fish to swallow Jonah, but now he spoke to him to spit him up. Because Jonah did the right thing. He praised God in the middle of it. So Jonah, can you see that he got puked out on the sand with yellow stomach acids, and the guy reeked. And it says he walked into the city of Nineveh, just said, yet 40 days, and everybody perishes, and they all repented. I mean, even the animals repented. Well, if a guy covered with yellow, stinking, gaseous substance that you can smell a block away starts saying, yet 40 days you perish, you'd repent too. So there was this tremendous repentance across the land. I'm going quickly through the book of Jonah. And unfortunately, verse chapter 4, verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, why was he angry? It worked. The whole land repented. Well, you know why he was angry? Because he was selfish, and he really had an ambition problem. And he wanted, actually, if you study it, he was in the contemporary of Elisha. And he really wanted, I believe, because they knew about Elisha and Elijah, he just used to call fire down all the time. And I think he wanted to have the opportunity to see fire come down and burn up those Ninevites. I am the next Elijah. Well, unfortunately, the Ninevites repented, and that really messed up his plans for his big ministry. So he was upset because things didn't turn out the way he did. And he's, verse 2, he said, I pray to the Lord. I said, I pray you, O Lord. Wasn't this my saying when I was in my country? This is why I went to Tarshish, because I knew you were gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, repent of the evil. He quoted his catechism. He says, this is why I ran, because I knew you were a good God and you'd forgive those louts. See, the Ninevites were pretty wicked people. I mean, really bad. You know what they did to their enemies? They skinned them alive. Bad. And they were exporting witchcraft, sort of like Hollywood. And perversion. We see this in the book of, I think it was Nahum. Am I right? Yeah. And is that right? Right. Two generations later is when they did get it. But their wrath was delayed because of this preacher. And then in verse 3 he says, therefore, O Lord, take my life from me, for it's better me to live, to die, than to live. You could put in your margin, poor me, self-pity. Suicidal self-pity. Lord, just take me. Lord, kill me. It's better to die than live. And the Lord said, do you well to be angry? He says, and, you know, it's interesting, he doesn't answer the Lord. Now, listen, here's the bottom line. It's all the verses we're going to read. I want to make a point about this. Is Jonah let the anger eat up inside of him? He was mad. Things didn't work out the way he wanted. He was judgmental. He was critical. He was resentful. And as a result, it ate him up to the point, folks, in verse 3, he just wanted to die. Now, I believe when we let anger eat us up inside, a lot of times we just want to die. It'll lead you to suicide. It'll lead you to suicidal thoughts. A lot of people that contemplate suicide, it's because they feel trapped. They feel just abandoned. They feel rejected or to the point where there's no way out. And a lot of times it's because they're not doing the right thing. And forgiving and releasing. You know, and this is a clear picture of what I call spiritual self-pity or nauseating self-pity. Let me tell you something. Self-pity is one of the most spiritually degrading things there is. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Poor me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll just go eat worms. Or somebody has a pity party. You know, there's all kind of people there. Me, myself, and I, you know. It's sickening. You know, the best response to self-pity is rebuke somebody out of it. It's just that self-pity is the opposite of faith. And I want to tell you something. Stuffed anger can make you sick. And you know the reason people stuff anger a lot of times is they're grown up and their parents said kids are to be seen and not heard. And they're never allowed to express their feelings. They just, you know, shut up. Just do as you're told. And I think kids need to shut up. I think kids need to do as they're told. I do. Don't get me wrong, parents. But at the same time, I think parents need to provide those kids an opportunity at times to share and express what they feel. Do you know what I mean? It's one of the healthiest things in the world. How many of y'all grew up and never had that opportunity? Me too. I cannot remember one time my dad sat me down and said, Chris, I'd like to know your feelings. Share with me what you're feeling about our family. Hello? But you know, we did this with our kids once. We're raising our kids, and it was kind of a pretty awkward dynamic with, you know, my wife's ex and their daddy and everything. I was a stepdad, and there was a lot of dynamics. But you know, we found something really worked. And I learned this up in Lake Hamilton Hot Springs back a number of years ago. We told the kids, look, we're going to give you a little window of time. We sat down with them, said there's a family meeting. You are free to express whatever's on your heart, anger, hurt, frustration, judgment, whatever. Get it all out for this little window of time here, and we won't say nothing. We'll just let you vent. Boy, they looked at each other. They went, all right. And I promised them, no consequences for what you say in this 10 minutes. Now, beyond the 10 minutes, but not 10 minutes, you get it out. Well, it was great. I mean, they just said, oh, finally, man, I can tell them what I feel. And it was really hard. I remember we were gripping the chair, you know, just as I shared. And just you wanted to go, no, but we just shut up and let them get it out. And you know what's amazing? After they realized it was real and they got it out, they calmed down and they were reasonable and we were able to talk. We did that like two or three times. And do you know that was the turning point of our relationship with those kids? Because they finally realized we really did want to hear them. We respected them. We were the authority, but we let them get it out. You know how important that is? Because I think had it been burrowed down inside of them, a lot of kids rebel. Why? My older brother did that. My older brother brought up, and he just stuffed it, went and hung around with the bad kids in the neighborhood, ended up into drugs and this, because he never had an opportunity to get it out. I didn't have an opportunity to get it out either. The only difference was I saw what a wreck my older brother's life was. I said, I'm not going to go that way. And just as I was going my way, Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. At 19. And I was able to get it out with others and share my life. But you folks, let me tell you something. We've got to get the anger out. If you've been stuffing, if you're afraid to go and work out your fellowship and work out, resolve an issue, then you know what? That's sitting inside of you. You've got to deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, it's going to go somewhere. And I believe a lot of us, we have generational curses of family line infirmities in our life. It's true. Your grandma and your great-grandmother, man, they had cancer or diabetes or some kind of physiological problem here and there. Do you know what? Just because grandma and great-grandmother had these problems doesn't mean you have to have them. Did you know that? Just because there's a family line curse doesn't. But let me tell you something. When you stuff and you harden and you shut down, guess what? You are likely to ignite those latent curses and they begin to manifest in your life. Because we've seen on the back end, when you're praying for someone that has these maladies, the Holy Ghost will come with a word of knowledge and say the reason this thing started is because of bitterness, inner vow, you shut down and it ignited this latent curse. It did not have to manifest in your genealogical line. Everybody with me this morning? How this works? Last place, Ephesians 4. One of the art of life is handling anger. Amen? How many of y'all grew up in angry environments? Okay, now, be honest. How many of y'all still find it difficult to manage an angry environment. You still, now you see, if you grew up in it, you're still living it out. And I believe, like I said before, a lot of the issues is mommy and daddy issues. It's no more difficult than that. Somewhere, somehow, at some point, you said at some point when you were growing up, I will never. And I'm telling you, it doesn't seem fair or right. You say, well, what do you expect? I mean, you're a little kid. You're going to make those judgments and vows, right? You're going to harden. But the fact remains, the commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. And when you disrespect and you dishonor your parents, you bring a curse on you. Period. It doesn't matter. There is no excuse. It is in the Bible law of God that when you dishonor your parents, there's a consequence. So what we've learned in deliverance is lead people to dealing with the layers of dishonor and disrespect against mom and dad. And all you got to do, again, is just look in your life right now. It's not complicated. Look at the mirrors. Every relationship you have is a mirror. And which ones of those relationships just pushes buttons? Well, that behind that is the Holy Ghost saying, this is where things have never been dealt with in your life. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Do you notice how quick and linked giving place to the devil is with anger? See that? Anger yielded, a few things give place to the devil faster than letting anger control you or rule you. And there's a bunch of proverbs about that. He that has his rule of his own spirit is better than the mighty. He that has rule of his own spirit is better than he that takes a city. A wise man will pacify the wrath of his soul, but a fool will just let it all hang out. So God wants us to learn to be angry and sin not. Listen, feeling angry is not wrong. It's what you do with the feeling. Now, here's a solution. If you feel angry, legitimate anger about something, but you know if you keep going, you're going to just start blasting and saying ugly things and, you know, going back to the old pit. So you say, well, how do I do this? How do I be angry and sin not? How in the world does that happen? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's just simply to be real about it. But be meek about it. In other words, let's say you're in a fight with your spouse and something comes up and this is where you just start lashing back. You pull out your sword. You know, they've already got theirs out. The thing you can say is, look, I am so angry right now. I am so PO'd. Can we pray? Because if we don't pray, I'm going to rip sheetrock off the walls. Amen? I am so angry, but I really don't want to express it because it's not. There's a scripture, James says, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Whenever you get angry, you're out of the will of God, period. I'm saying other than righteous anger, and if we're really honest, most of ours isn't that. But whenever you get angry, you're out of the will of God. So you can say, or you can go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am so angry. Will you show me what's going on? One thing I've learned to do. You know the old thing when you get angry, count to 10? Well, I was thinking one day, that's the 10 commandments. That's the 10 you need to count. Thou shalt not, by the 10, by the end of the 10 commandments, you know, you'll be sufficiently convicted of yourself. You'll lay off the other person. But, you know what you do when you get angry? Is you say, I need this space. I need to cool down. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on inside of me right now? Because anger's a red flag. What's being pushed? What's the button? Why am I angry right now? Show me. It's interesting. That's the very question God asked Jonah. Do you remember that? He said, Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry? God asked Jonah, why are you angry? In Genesis 4, when Cain got angry at his brother, remember? You know what God asked him? Look it up. It says, God said, Cain, do you have a good reason to be angry? Same thing. God asked Cain, why are you angry? See, God wants you to look at why. Why are you angry? In other words, Lord, show me why. What's being hit? What's the but? Let me not blame the other party because that's a gift from you. And all that was acknowledged. God ordains those things. God's allowing that person to be whatever. Well, a lot of times we so want somebody to change because they bug us. Truth is they'll never change until you just release them to be the way they are and you start dealing with yourself and lo and behold, they change. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So what's the answer this morning? If you're an exploder, how many exploders we got out there? If you're an exploder, you know what the answer is? Ready? Learn to quickly forgive, quickly release others, quickly have mercy, and quickly ask forgiveness. It's all. Just be quick about it. Keep short accounts. Just repent. Learn to quickly forgive. Don't sit and brood on it like a chicken on an egg, you know? You'll hatch nothing but destruction. That was when I said destruction, I did that. To emphasize destruction. Quickly deal with the issue. Amen? Now, if you're an imploder, how many imploders we got out there? It's interesting. The imploders are in this area, and the exploders are here. I think I'll walk right down the middle of the aisle. I wonder if they tend to gravitate together. Whoa. What are you guys over here, in denial? Sorry. Oh, they've arrived. That's why there's only three of them. All right. If you're an imploder, what do? Loretti, come out of hiding and be honest with yourself and open up, be honest with others. A lot of times the reason, look over here while I'm talking to the imploders. A lot of times the reason we tend to implode is because they're not honest. And we don't have anybody we're sharing a life with. It's really important to share your life. To be accountable. Can you understand? To be open. To be honest. To be real. You can't do this alone. Absolutely not. Lone Rangers never grow up. Period. They just stay stunted. You've got to be accountable. That's why I'm into discipleship. Accountability, submission, opening your heart, being real. Being, amen? Exposing these things. So the key to all of this, folks, the blessing of all of this, is when you begin to deal with these things in the proper way, the Lord becomes more real in your life. Peace becomes a predominant part of everything. You get free from a lot of the torment. A lot of the torment in our life is just because stuff stopped and unresolved. And that's why I said there in Ephesians, let not the sun go down what? What is he saying in that? Huh? Do it quickly. Don't let a day go by. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are obviously times that you can't, for whatever reason, resolve something quickly. You know, it's for whatever reason. But you can resolve, and you can make a note, as soon as I see this person, I'm going to work this out. Or I'll call them. I've found that helps. If I keep a little PDA with me, I write things down. I need to waff it out. Waff, you know, waffing, W-O-F, work out fellowship. I need to work it out. And I'll make a note of it. I'll say, at this point, I've got to call this person and resolve this issue. And I found that when I make the decision, I'm going to resolve the issue, my spirit gets clear. And I'm back in communion with Him. And the heavens open and His peace comes and I can walk in the Spirit. And you know how you know you're in the Spirit? When you can find peace and you don't hear somebody's voice in your head. Or you're not sitting there about so-and-so. I mean, that's torment. God doesn't want you sitting there just every time you walk in a room, you know, you notice, oh man, I need to sit on this side of the room. Man, I hope the preacher doesn't ask people to hug one another. As soon as he does, you just kind of, you know, you aim yourself so you figure they'll go that way, so I'll go this way. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Need to do a little, you know, like those, when you're a kid, they do those chair things, like musical chairs, you know? And then you put the people down in the middle, and then you stop. So sure enough, God's going to make it where you're right for the person you want to work fellowship out with. But you know, we don't have to play those games. We just need to be serious about it. Can you amen? I'll stand. Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd give us wisdom in these things. This is an area the enemy plays havoc with our lives. Lord, there are so many of us adults and we're honest. We got so much deliverance we need in this area. We grew up in angry environments, Lord. Lord, you've called us to live in peace. In fact, you want us to model a righteous environment where the kids don't stuff and get bitter and run. But they can be real, respectful, honorable, but real. Lord, teach us to be angry and to sin not, to let not the sun go down on our wrath, and to not give place to the devil. But as you go on to say later in that chapter, to be merciful and kind and long-suffering and gentle unto all men, Lord, teach us, Lord, to be loving. You've commanded us to love our neighbor, as I said. Now, right now, I'd ask you to confess to the Lord whatever the Holy Spirit convicted you of as I spoke this morning. Just confess it. Whatever. If He put someone in your heart that you know, you need to go work fellowship out with. You need to go make it right, man. Jesus says, leave the gift at the altar. Go first be reconciled with your brother. And then come. Right now, be obedient to the Lord. Say, yes, Lord, I will obey you. Yes, Lord, I will do that. I will obey you. If you need to forgive someone now, do that with a choice of the will. You don't have to feel it. Just, Lord, I bless them. I forgive them. I've done far worse. Who am I to judge? And if the Holy Spirit has convicted you of something you need to be forgiven for, that those people that bug you, truth is, It's the very thing you judge your parents for. Lord, I pray that you do deep deliverance in their lives, deep healing. There's just nothing left in there. Like you said, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. The enemy can come. He won't find any buttons to push in our life. Well, just at peace, Lord. Give no place to the devil. Folks, make it right this morning. Whatever the Holy Ghost is convicting you of, make it right. That's why the word is preached. The Holy Spirit comes. Is he's putting his finger on something you don't normally think about. But if you'll obey the Lord right now in these moments, I'm telling you, your whole week goes so much better. Pressure is released. Demons that once tormented you won't mess with your mind anymore. Because you're obedient to the Lord. Do it. Obey the Lord. Obey the Spirit. And if you need to later, go and work this thing out with somebody. Do it. Pick up the phone. Write a letter. Whatever. In the name of Jesus, I take authority this morning over every spirit. Every tormenting spirit, lying spirit, condemning accusation. I break your power over these lives. Lord, to the degree that each one has humbled themselves, to that degree, give them grace and mercy to release them from these binds, bondages. Amen? Let's sing. Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.